السيد والمبين والأحد العظيم والمتين وإنه الحق العلي الأعلى المتعالي الوتر قد تجلى.
الله ربنا هو الإله له من الأسماء ما اصطفاه الواحد الحي كذا المليك والملك المالك لا شريك
وإنه المجيد والعليم والقادر القدير والحليم وإنه السميع والبصير والأول الآخر والستير.
الله ربنا هو الإله له من الأسماء ما اصطفاه الواحد الحي كذا المليك والملك المالك لا شريك
والظاهر الباطن والكبير والوارث الرقيب والنصير سبحانه البارئ والمصور والقابض الباسط والمسعر.
الله ربنا هو الإله له من الأسماء ما اصطفاه الواحد الحي كذا المليك والملك المالك لا شريك.
الله ربنا هو الإله له من الأسماء ما اصطفاه الواحد الحي كذا المليك والملك المالك لا شريك.
الله ربنا هو الإله.
This question on the stuff? Did you say with the chat box? Oh, automatically. Somebody just say with the... Everybody stop making noise! I think it's... Do you keep on muting us? Whoever you are, thank you. The host. Who's the host? I don't get it.
Possibility.
You know the person who said that, they're telling their mom.
والملك المالك لا شريك
وإنه المجيد والعليم والقادر القدير والحليم وإنه السميع والبصير والأول الآخر والستير.
الله ربنا هو الإله له من الأسماء ما اصطفاه الواحد الحي كذا المليك والملك المالك لا شريك
والظاهر الباطن والكبير والوارث الرقيب والنصير سبحانه البارئ والمصور والقابض الباسط والمسعر.
الله ربنا هو الإله له من الأسماء ما اصطفاه الواحد الحي كذا المليك والملك المالك لا شريك.
الله ربنا هو الإله له من الأسماء ما اصطفاه الواحد الحي كذا المليك والملك المالك لا شريك
الله ربنا هو الإله له من الأسماء ما اصطفاه الواحد الحي كذا المليك والملك المالك لا شريك
والصمد السيد والمبين
نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير الحمد لله رب العالمين with the mercy of Allah سبحانه وتعالى and only his tawfiq we are able to be together here in this room to benefit tremendously and seek the nearness of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Life is full of surprises, life is full of tests. And it's really, really important that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy, for continued blessings, right? So, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, today we start our day with a very interesting lesson in which we were, I think, diverted into two different rooms. And Alhamdulillah, in the other room, we were learning and very focused. We saw some amazing sharings by some friends as well. And while some of the friends were waiting in this room, so everything happens with the will of Allah, and we will realize, we will learn that as we go forward in life. So at this time, a very, very warm welcome and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu to all the lovely friends. And let's see who is feeling very happy and healthy. Then go ahead and type one, show me your smiles that yes, alhamdulillah, we are very happy, we are very healthy, and we are very patient people, right? No matter what happens, we make wise use of our time, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward every person who works behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, online, offline, to make it easy for everyone to connect with the Creator. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So Jazakallah khair wa asan jaza for your patience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it. And as I said, may Allah's peace, His mercy and His blessings be with you all, inshallah. So with that, let's reset our intentions why we are here and mark our presence by typing labbaik jazakallah khair wa ahsan al-jaza for the lovely friends texting, asking how am I doing. Alhamdulillah, I am really happy. Couple of minutes back, I was missing you guys and we were not realizing, we were trying to understand what's happening, but alhamdulillah, good to see everybody here. So we are going to reset our intentions, and you know what, on the day of judgment, when there will be no shade, there will be a and the sun would be so close, there will be a shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? And under His shade will be those people who used to love each other for the sake of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us that we are eligible for that shade, inshallah. Okay, so how many of us love each other for the sake of Allah? How many of us miss each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Go ahead and type one if yes, we would like to be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Jazakallah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your labbaik. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our intentions. And let me see your beautiful notebooks. And you have your books with you. I hope you have your colors, your crayons. Laika, you want to show again the beautiful thing that you had made, and I can quickly let you talk about it a little bit to the fans. So go ahead, Laika, you want to share with the rest of the fans too? Go ahead.
So the first fact that I wrote about was how the Quran was the last book to be revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second fact was that all the books by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were changed, but the Quran was never changed. The third fact, there are five books of Allah. The Suhuf, scrolls revealed to Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Zabur, Psalms, was revealed to Dawood alayhi salam. The Torah was revealed to Musa alayhi salam. The Injil was the Bible, which was revealed to Isa alayhi salam, and the Quran was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fourth fact is the Torah was revealed on a stone platform to Musa alayhi salam. And the fifth one is books in Arabic are called Kutubihi.
Alhamdulillah, Jazakallah khair. That was a very beautiful recap of everything that you did last time, and you can show it closer. Anybody else wants to show what they have at their place? Beautiful, Zasha. I love your notebook too there, mashallah. Allah, we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you have your colors, your things, you're ready, and your consciousness ready, right? So anybody in this room which who is sitting with any other intentions, it's time to just reset our intentions. You can turn your mic cameras on, off, and now let's focus for our Quran time. And we're going to listen very carefully, and after that, we're going to take some notes, okay? The surah that we are covering today is called Suratul Humaza. Okay, it's the 104th chapter in the Quran, and this surah is a Makki surah. Okay, you need to type only one time one. Is that clear? Only one time. You're going to tell me one. If yes, I have memorized it. Two, no, I have not done it yet, but I will do it, inshallah. And you add a three if you will work on the meanings and inshallah apply it in your life. So go ahead, you can lock your answers for Surah Humaza. This is a very special surah that talks about certain aspects in our life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that can be very, very dangerous. Okay, those are going to be three aspects. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from that. And there were people at the time of the Prophet insulting him, saying things to him. And this surah addresses, like, they used to think, oh, they are very rich, they have everything, so they can just, you know, say things to people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding about how things are going to be different, okay? So anybody typing more than one, I will have to take some action, especially for this ID that I'm seeing regarding hackers. So admins also, please make a note of that if we need to do something about it, okay? So please rename, reset your intentions and reset your name if you are here for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right, Jazakallah khair, Zulkarnain. Now let's focus, let's say the Tawus Tasmiyah is showing time later because we already had some 10 minutes gone. So let's say, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Your turn. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Your turn. With a very strong defense shield and a very strong request for barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we start with the first verse and let's pay attention. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Your turn. Wail means woe. It's like curse also, and it's like a place in the hellfire as well. Likulli, to every. Humaza, a slanderer. And lumaza, a backbiter. So everybody who is trying to find faults or who is a backbiter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, woe to them. Okay, so I hope you have written down the word by word meaning of this. And these two terminologies, humaza and lumaza, they are used interchangeably. Okay, they sometimes they come interchangeably and the meanings can be used, but here both of them are being used. Okay, and that means something incredible. All right, so they give the meaning, the slanderers who insults and holds others in contempt habitually. Somebody who raises his fingers and winks at others. He finds fault with the lineage of the other person. Some people who taunt each other in the face and they backbite others. They create differences between the friends, or somebody who stirs up division between the brothers, or somebody who calls the people names, right? And it's like satirical character, and he makes them like he tries to defame them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. It's woe to every backbiter and slanderer. So I need to check myself. Am I the one who is doing it? I need to check that out very quickly. Okay, I hope my name is not into humaza and my name is not into lumaza. Okay, I am not trying to find faults with people. Let's go to verse number 2 and recite that together, inshallah. Allazi jama'a malan wa 'addada. Your turn.
How are you?
Allazi is singular, the one who jama'a, he collects malan, wealth, wa'addada, and he counts it. Okay, so this means that somebody who, the woe is to somebody who keeps on collecting money and then he keeps on counting it, thinking that it's going to stay with him forever, right? Like a hoarder, like somebody who is just, his purpose of life just becomes collecting money and keeping it to themselves, not using it for the sake of Allah, but just keeping it to themselves and just keeping counting it as if it's going to stay there forever. Okay, so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Money is not bad, but when the love of money stops you from following the directions of Allah, then it becomes really dangerous, right? It becomes really dangerous and bad. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Let's go to the verse number 3. So you have 3 qualities that you already saw that we need to be very careful. I don't need to be a person who is a slanderer. I don't need to be a person who backbites others. And I don't need to be a person who is just collecting the money and who keeps counting it as if it's going to stay here forever, right? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us that we check our own self, inshallah, on that. So what is it? The third verse. يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَهُ. Your turn. Very good, excellent. So yahsabu, thinking, anna, that, malahu, his wealth, his mal, akhlada, will make him immoral, or will stay with him, will make him live forever. So do you think that the money can save us and can help us stay forever? What do you think? Yes or no? No, absolutely not. So verse number 4, inshallah, we will do it in detail next time, but let's just say it together. Kalla la yumbazanna fil hutama. Your turn. So nay, surely he will be thrown in the crusher. He will be thrown in the hutama. And we will find out what is hutama. Okay, so for now, on these 4 verses, write a lesson. And yeah, okay, let's see. I hope the voice is better now. There's some issue with Zoom today. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids us from slandering and rebuking others, right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us peaceful people who are not torturing others with our words, our mouth, and what we are saying. Number 2, those who are proud of their wealth and do not give away in Allah's path is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us the tawfiq that we spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And slandering, rebuking, and not giving wealth according to Allah's decree will be punished. And what will be the punishment? He will be thrown in hutama. And hutama is a place of flaming fire that can burn the hearts of men, and they will be imprisoned in it. So we will talk about these consequences tomorrow in more detail, inshallah, regarding Surah Humazah and what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to be in this, after reading this surah, inshallah. Okay, so let's move on to our seerah session and let's collect some treasures from the seerah. And then once we come back after our dua and seerah, then I will ask you what is on in your mind regarding Surah Humazah and what are some of the lessons that you learned from it. Okay, and inshallah I can answer your question. Alisha, I'll give you the meaning of Al-Zubillah at that time as well. So inshallah, over for our seerah session, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear Sister Javeria, alhamdulillah. Jazakillahu khairan kathira. Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all the dear wonderful students. How's everyone doing? Yes, how's everyone doing? Alhamdulillah. Okay, was it fun earlier for a few minutes when you guys had no teacher in the room, no one watching, just all fun, right? Alhamdulillah. It shows that how we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the presence and how we do it in the absence. MashaAllah. Okay, and then intonation was really fun. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, I think Sister Javeria, towards the end of the session or sometime, I mean towards the end of the course, maybe we can just put a slide for intonation for like 2-3 seconds and allow them just to intonate. Right? Okay. Alhamdulillah. I don't know which picture you guys are talking about. Is everything okay? Hafizallah. Is there a picture? Okay, alhamdulillah. You guys scared me for a minute. I was like, what happened? Okay, inshallah, let's start with the du'as. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbi yassir wa la tu'assir wa tammim bil khayrat. Allahumma amin. Okay. So let's come to the picture. Interesting. How come you guys didn't notice this picture before? You can't hear me well. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. It's all right here. Yes, what's the meaning of this picture? It's a rose in the desert, right? When there's nothing, there's no one around, when there's no water, but still the flower is blooming. And what is making the flower bloom? Only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And same is with our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he was brought to the nation, he was brought at the time when there was no Islam. And alhamdulillah, with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he bloomed. And he brought humanity towards Islam, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so let's continue and we go to the next thing. Let's take few questions from the last sessions of the last week. I want you guys to just type it, inshallah, and then inshallah we'll move forward with today's lesson. Okay, so before, and let me see how everyone has the typing speed of the answers. So on your mark, get set, and there I know, I'm sorry if there would be an echo, but there's nothing from our side. And let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy and we are able to focus. So I want you guys to write only and only the answers, and then otherwise inshallah we'll lock off the chat. So well, what was the name of the cave where Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was when the angel first came to him? Cave of Hira, mashallah, barakillahu feek. And what was name of the angel who came to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Angel Jibreel, alhamdulillah, great. And how was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's reaction when he saw the angel? He was scared, alhamdulillah, he was surprised, he was shocked, he was scared. What did Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha reacted when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to her and expressed how he was cover him. Okay, he said Zamiluni. She comforted him. Very nice. Alhamdulillah. She didn't ask questions. And then she took him to where? To his? I mean, to her cousin. Anyone remembers the name of her cousin? It starts with wa. Warqa. Excellent, Zulqarneen. Warqa bin Nawfil. Alhamdulillah. Good job to everyone who's typing. Yes. And then what happened? Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, alhamdulillah, he realized that these are revelations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what was he now? He became the prophet. Excellent. Good job. And after he becoming the prophet, what was the first thing he do? He preached. He invited others towards Islam. So who was the first Muslim, the first one to submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Khadija radiallahu anha, excellent amana. And who was the first among the kids? Okay, who was the first among the kids? Ali radiallahu anhu, excellent Rizwan. And who was the first among the adults? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, good job. And who was the first amongst the slaves to accept Islam? Zayd bin Haritha. MashaAllah. Barakallah. Excellent. So alhamdulillah, you guys have good memory. You guys are taking good notes. Beyond this, if there's anyone who want to come ahead and share one or two points from the last time, then please raise your hand and we can do that quickly. If there's anything that you learned from last time and you want to share, okay, Laika, I will go ahead and unmute you. And please go ahead and share. Sorry.
I just wanted to say there was one Uncle Jahil, who didn't like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to preach to anyone else about Islam because he was leaving the religion of his forefathers.
Excellent. Very good. Abu Jahl, he was not happy. And na'udhu billah, what did he do? He cursed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it didn't stop him. Okay. Galaxy, I know you have a beautiful name. So inshallah, if you can go ahead and rename yourself also. I unmuted you. Please go ahead and share.
My name is Ruhan.
Okay. Yes. What do you want to share, Ruhan?
Burhan.
I'm sorry, Burhan. What do you want to share?
Always be positive.
Always be positive. Excellent. Good job, Burhan. Go ahead and rename yourself so that we don't make a mistake. Okay, Rumaisa, go ahead.
I learned that when Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was teaching in Mecca for 13 years, he taught three things, which was Tawheed, which is believe in one and only Allah. Rizlat, Prophet Muhammad is the last and final messenger. And Yawm al-Qiyam, which is the Day of Judgment.
Okay, Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah, Barakallah Fik. I see a lot of names. Alhamdulillah. And I'm really excited and happy. And I really want to listen to each and every one of you. But with the time, I don't think. So let's just wait for a while. And inshallah, towards the end, if we have time, then we will continue. So let's move on with today's session. Today's story is about the time of Sira when Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had begun preaching Islam. And this topic is called the Muslims and the Kuffar of Makkah. And I would request if you all can lower down your hands. So in case if in between anyone has any question or concern, then they want to raise their hands, then it would be easy for us to figure out. Barakallahu feek. Okay, so the Muslims and Kuffars of Makkah. As we know, what is the meaning of Muslims? Muslims are the one who submit their will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who are the Kuffars? Kuffars are those who do not submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a huge difference, or we can say a very minute difference, however we want to name it. But the difference between a believer and a kuffar is about the submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is that someone knows the reality. We associate the tag of kuffars with non-Muslims or with any other kind of human mankind. But the basic line, the bottom line, the difference is what? The difference is that kuffar is the one who do not submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even after knowing, and the believer, a Muslim, is the one who submits to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when it comes to the submission, there is no ifs and buts that, oh, I can do this, I cannot do this, this is difficult, this is hard. No. It is that when the knowledge comes, or when the point of explanation comes towards any particular point, the believer's role is, the believer's attitude is, inshallah, I am trying my best to do it. Whereas a non-believer, a kuffar, would say, yeah, whatever, this is story of the ancient times, it's not possible. So we have to be amongst those who submit our wills to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the beginning of Islam, lived in Makkah for 13 years. And in these 13 years, due to preaching of Islam, many close friends and family became enemies. And how we learn that? Abu Jahl, he was not happy. He was a very close family. He was so happy when Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born that he actually freed a slave. He was that happy. But when the same Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited him towards Islam, he turned away and he started cursing, na'udhubillah. So many close friends and family became enemies, but at the same time, many enemies became close companions. After inviting family, friends and people of Makkah towards Islam, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, and what do we call his companions? His companions are Sahaba, faced a lot of torture from the kuffar of Makkah. And like we did before in one of the previous sessions, that what would be the reason of torture? The reason of torture would be that they thought these people are going away from the religion of their forefathers. This is something new which they have started. This is not right, and they were not able to understand and accept. And those who accept Islam and submitted to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately started inviting others towards one and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam right away started preaching and inviting people? He stood on the Mount of Safa and he invited all of his family, friends and people of Makkah. And so he expected the same thing from every single one who accepted Islam. They didn't know the whole Quran yet. Now the point to here ponder is, they yet didn't know the whole Quran. Only and only how many verses were revealed? Only the first 5 verses were revealed yet. And what did they do? Whatever they learned, they started sharing. They didn't wait that, okay, let me finish the surah, let me finish the course, let me finish the Quran. No, they started preaching what they knew right away. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the first Muslim in the Mecca, and immediately he started spreading the message of Islam, and many of his friends accepted Islam and became Muslims. And the famous names of the companions are Uthman radiallahu anhu, Zubayr radiallahu anhu, Talha radiallahu anhu, and there are a few more. And what happened? Now imagine, let's go back to the time. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced that this is the revelation. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu immediately accepted. Now what's next? Abu Bakr Siddiq didn't wait till, okay, let me ask Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, should I go and talk to others? Should I go and inform them? Should I go and invite them? What did he do? He understood this is the right thing. This is the right point. And what did he do? He immediately went out and talked to other people. And it seems that there were almost like 8 to 10 companions who accepted Islam right away after Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu teaching them. They didn't wait when the truth came to them saying, okay, let us confirm with Prophet Muhammad, is Abu Bakr Siddiq saying the right thing or not? No. When the truth comes, the heart automatically opens. And why? Because the person, our soul, our heart is longing for the truth, longing for the guidance. And when the guidance comes, our heart immediately accepts it. For those like Abu Jahl, he didn't accept it. Why? Because he was not ready to see the truth. He was not ready to accept the truth. And so he, despite of knowing, he denied. And Abu Bakr Siddiq, back in the time when an ordinary free man accepted Islam despite of opposition. Now this is very important for us to understand, that even if it would be an ordinary man and despite of the opposition, he would enjoy the protection of his tribe. He would not be tortured. And say, for example, today something happens and the community people come and save that person. the community people come towards the protection and say, no, this is our person. You cannot hit him. You cannot torture him. This is our person. And so this would be very common with those who were free, with those who were elite or even the common men. But at the same time, for those who were slaves or from that sect of the community, which was weaker sect, there was no protection and they experienced punishments and torture. So back then also it was there that the rich and the elite or the regular people, they had the privilege of being under protection. But the common men, the weaker sections, the slaves, they were tortured. And even in that torture, they did not leave the right thing. Even when they were being tortured, they stayed steadfast. The first martyrs of Islam in Mecca were Sumayya bint Khabbat radiallahu anha and Yasir ibn Amir radiallahu anha. They were a couple. That was the whole family. They were the family of slaves and they had a son. And I'm sure many of us know the famous name of Ammar bin Yasir. And he was their son and the whole family accepted Islam and their owners tortured them until they died. And they were the first martyrs. They were the first among those who returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after accepting Islam. And what happened? They were the slaves, but just because their acceptance of Islam and their faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so strong that they were happy to die rather than to change their faith. In the first 3 years of Islam, Muslims kept their faith secret due to the pain and suffering given by the kuffar. And when they saw how the kuffar treated those who accepted Islam, how kuffar treated those who were amongst them who were being tortured. So what happened? The first 3 years, they stayed quiet. The first 3 years, they were like from those who tried to hide their iman. They didn't publicly pray. They didn't go to the mosque. They prayed by themselves and things like that. So what happened next? Can you imagine after the acceptance of Islam by Umar radiallahu anhu, Muslim gained the confidence and they were able to pray openly in the Haram around the Kaaba. And back then, Muslims were tortured so much that they were really afraid and scared to go out and pray in public. But when Umar radiallahu anhu accepted Islam, Umar radiallahu anhu was a very strong personality. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us the time to inshallah learn someday, learn about him in some classes, that how and what kind of a human being and a Muslim he was. He was really strong. He was really famous. He was a powerful personality. And so what happened once he became Muslim, when he accepted Islam, the strength of the Muslim almost doubled, tripled, and beyond that also. Why? Because they gained the courage. Now, since Umar radiallahu anhu was a Muslim, he was a believer, he was there as a shield for them. And this was a huge plus point for the people of Mecca and the Muslims of Mecca, that they gained the confidence to pray in the open. And that now they were sure that since Umar radiallahu anhu is there, no one would try to come in. The kuffar's main reason to be against the Muslims of Mecca at that time was due to the understanding that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's preachings are taking away everyone from the religion of their ancestors and their forefathers, and that their belief in idol worshipping was very strong and they were not yet ready to believe in one and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believe in the Prophet. They thought that how can you just believe to someone who's up in the seventh heaven? How can you not have something in front of whom you are worshipping? And this was the thought of the kuffar of Mecca and they were not yet ready to let it go. And so the people who were accepting Islam, they were trying to reach and they were trying to explain. But those with the closed minds and closed hearts were not yet ready to understand and accept. For them, the rituals of their forefathers, the reasons that the ideals that their forefathers were worshipping, the ideals that were still there inside the Kaaba was very difficult for them to let it go. And hence this made a huge difference between the believers and the non-believers. And the lessons that we learned from today is strive to be from those who submit their will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no ifs and buts, no questions asked. Sami'na wa ata'na. It's repeated in Quran many times that as soon as you hear, you try to obey. If it is difficult to obey, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it becomes easy. Share the knowledge even if it is just one ayah, one point. Whatever you learn from the class, whatever you learn from the right sources, go ahead and share it with your family and friends, even if it is just one point. Whatever you have written, whatever you have taken notes, whatever you have, you remember, at least one point. And the next is try to have compassion for the weak. Never think that they will be taken for granted. Never think they are the weaker sections. You can torture them. You can be rude to them. Right now, we don't physically torture. All we do is we are probably rude to them. We don't smile at them. No. Why? Because they are. It's Allah's will that they are in that stage. And so we have to be compassionate. We have to be nice to them. And the last is be the strength for Islam and Muslims. How Umar radiallahu anhu was there, right? He made the Muslims feel secure, and we have to strive to be from those that we make people around us, the Muslims and the Islam, secure and confident. So alhamdulillah, these are the few points that we learned from today's lesson. Sister Aisha is ready and waiting for us to do our next dua session. Before we go to the dua session, if there's any question or concern, then please go ahead and type it. We'll open the chat is also open, so inshallah you can go ahead and type it. I see two hands raised along with Sister Aisha, and it is of Awaz and Alishaba. If there's any question and you guys have raised your hands, then please lower down your hand and raise it again so that I'm sure it's there. And if not, then Jazakillahu Khair. Kazim, your hand was just raised, so go ahead and share what you have, and inshallah we'll continue. Yes, Alishaba, go ahead.
So, you know when you say kuffar, yeah? Like, could it mean that it could be a Muslim that, like, doesn't pray as well, or, like, non-believers only?
That's a very deep question, and for that question, we need a lot of time. But basically, right now, for us to understand, the difference between a believer and a non-believer is the one who submits to the will of Allah is a Muslim. And the one who do not submit is a kuffar. But inshallah, I make dua that we have time someday and that we are able to go in detail and learn Quran and learn a lot of things. Subhanallah, I see a lot of questions, hands raised. And one last thing, sorry, Sister Aisha. I was seeing Awad is still there, so I think it's my mistake. And Alishaba has answered. Okay, Kazim, you were the next one, so I'll take Kazim the last. And then inshallah, if we have time, we'll come in the end. Go ahead, Kazim.
So I read the story once about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he was going to, I think, Mecca or Syria. And there's these enemies. It was only one. He had fruits in his hand. He had poison. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept on doing dua and tasbih and all that, so nothing would happen to him. So then when he felt bad at all, so then he gave him another fruit, which...
Okay, Kazim, I cut you off in between, but if I understood right, you were talking about some story where Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was traveling, and then there was some food, and one was fruit and the other was poison. Wallahu alam, I have no idea, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best what was the conclusion of that, and if that was the right story or not. We have to go through always to the most authentic sources and learn from the Quran and the Sunnah from the right sources. So I have no idea, and I'm sorry. But inshallah, if time prevails, then we can some other time talk about it. Inshallah, Sister Aisha is ready. So let's continue with our dua session. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Aisha.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all my dear friends. Ahmed, do you want to go ahead and...
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay. So alhamdulillah, I was actually listening to the entire session today. It was really interesting how you guys were talking about and learning actually about Surah Humazah. And so our today dua session is kind of revolving around a lot of things that you guys have already been learning. So today we are going to learn the dua to say when we visit somebody who's sick, right? Not necessarily for somebody when you're visiting them and they're sick, but this is a dua that you can actually say for yourself as well if you are sick. But before we talk a little bit about the dua, I just want to mention something really that came into my mind, and I want to share that sickness is sometimes taken as different ways. Sometimes people think sickness is, okay, let me ask Ahmed Mustafa. Ahmed Mustafa, what do you think sickness can mean to different people?
Sickness can mean like the coronavirus, or say somebody has a coronavirus and they're like, oh my God, this guy is like sick or something.
Yeah, but what do you think sickness really means? Like, for example, like we were talking about Surah Humazah, remember how we were talking about that people who are backbiters, who don't share their wealth. And then in the Seerah section, we were talking about how to be treating slaves who are weak people. But then these are all the things that some people should be doing, like not backbiting or sharing their wealth and all that stuff. But then there are other people who say that we are Muslims, right? But then they're doing all those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden them. Remember when you were little, I told you about a story about Amir Sahab, who was very, very rich and who used to, he was very miser. And he would not share his wealth with anyone. He would not share his, he was very mean to poor people and so on and so forth. And he was very harsh. And of course, backbiting and all those bad things. But one day what happened, that Amir Sahab got sick. He was very sick. And then during his sickness, he saw a dream, which was like a nightmare, that he was being pulled very hard into fire and that he got so scared. And then he saw his grandfather in the dream, who was actually telling him, Amir, you better get straightened up. You are not taking care. Allah has given you all this wealth and all this goodness. And he gave you health, but you did not take care of other people. When you were healthy and you had wealth, you did not take care of, you know, people who needed you. Remember the other day there was an old woman and she had her grandchildren. She wanted help and you rejected her. So all the thing he's seeing in his dream, and then he just wakes up and he's so scared and he's sweating and all that. And then he's like, oh, no, 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 no. So Allah made me sick. And he also gave me this thing in my mind as a dream, so I need to straighten up myself. And so he went and he started helping people. But during that time, he had a very during this whole period, he had a very poor servant. So the poor servant used to make dua. So the importance of dua. So when the sickness comes to a person, it can be two things. It can be that it's either a test for a believer, or it is sometimes, as we said earlier in the dua, أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّةِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ, like all the kind of evils that are around us. Ya Allah, protect us from that. One of the evil could be in the form of sickness. But sickness, as I said, sickness can have a lot of categories. Sickness can be due to, because Allah wants to make you come closer to Him. Because sometimes people are heedless. As I told you the story of Amir Sahab, he was very heedless. He would not share his wealth. He was not kind to people. So Allah tested him with sickness. And he came close to Allah. And he started praying. And he started being nice to people. He started giving his zakah. So that sickness became a blessing for him. It made him come close to Allah. And similarly, you know, sometimes sickness is a test. Remember the story of Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam? Do you know the story of Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam? Wasn't he tested with sickness?
Yeah.
He was tested with sickness. But was he not? But he was the prophet of Allah, right?
Yeah.
So the prophet of God are very, are sinless. They don't commit any sins. Right?
Yeah.
They're innocent. But why do you think Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam had that severe sickness where all his body was diseased and you know, he was not getting cured for almost 8.5 or 9 years? Why do you think he had this sickness?
It was a test from Allah to show Shaitan that, because Shaitan said that Allah make Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam sick, and then you'll see that he is not like very believing. So Allah did that to show Shaitan that Ayyub alayhi salam, he has deen and he's a good prophet.
Subhanallah. So sometimes sickness comes as a test, which means it's just to test that if you're still thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you're still saying, Ya Allah, I am, Alhamdulillah, Shukr Alhamdulillah, everything that comes from you to a mu'min, to somebody who believes in Allah, there's only goodness in it. So as Muslims, this is our belief. So no matter what happens, if we are healthy or we are sick, or if there's a problem, for example, nowadays, we're all in lockdown, right? So all this for us is a blessing. Each and every second is a blessing for us. Each and every minute is a blessing for us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us protection through different means. And one of the means is dua. So whenever you're in any situation, dua is the powerful shield that we all have. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us that. Evan Mustafa, are you ready for today's dua?
Yes.
Okay, inshallah. Let's go to the next slide, please. Okay, here's our dua, Ahmed Mustafa. So I'm going to read. Or do you want to read?
You can read.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to read and then you're going to read after me, inshallah. Okay, let's do our, let's send our salawat on the Prophet and, you know, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and start with the dua. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. So here goes our dua.
أسأل الله
العظيم
رب العرش العظيم
أن يشفيك. Okay, now if we are doing this dua for ourselves, we are going to say أن يشفي me, like me. So E in the end, if you add an E instead of ka means you, but E means me. So if you want to do this dua for yourself, you can do it this way. So inshallah, let's do this dua one more time. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
As'alu.
I ask. Allah. Why don't you do the translation?
Allah.
Al-Azima.
The Magnificent.
Rabb.
Lord.
Al-Arshi.
Of the Throne.
Al-Azim.
The Magnificent.
An.
To.
Yashfika,
cure you.
Yashfi means, it's from shifa, right? It's from means cure. And ka means you. So let's do this dua one more time now. So that we have it three times. Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As'alullah al-Azima. Rabb al-Arsh al-Azim. An yashfiyak. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so I want you all now to do this dua with me one more time, and inshallah ta'ala, we'll memorize that, and please, inshallah ta'ala, share this beautiful dua with your friends and family as well. Okay, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أسأل الله العظيم.
رب العرش العظيم.
أن يشفيك. And if it is for yourself, what will you say? أن يشفي.
يعني.
أشفيني. Okay, inshallah. So seven times. Okay, let's do it seven times. We have done already four times. Let's do three more times. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Let's do it together now, Mustafa. Why don't you start?
As'alullah al-Azima, Rabb al-Arsh al-Azimi, an yashfiyak.
Okay, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin. So with this, we have already said it seven times. Inshallah ta'ala, say this dua seven times every day and share this beautiful dua with everyone. And remember, dua is our shield. Dua is our protection. And we have to, and we should actually, as a Muslim, as a moment, make dua for each other. Because this is what we all need, especially in these days. And with that, and please don't forget to make dua for me and Ahmed Mustafa as well. And with that, I'll let you all go, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakillah khair wa ahsanul jaza for the beautiful dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep everybody safe and healthy and in his best of his afia. And in case anybody's feeling down, this is a beautiful dua, and you can say it seven times. And the Prophet ﷺ told us, if you say this next to somebody who is sick, then it will cure him, other than if it's time for death. So this is so powerful. Alhamdulillah. I have a personal story regarding this dua as well. That one time there was a very close member in the community, and they were so sick, like completely went on like a ventilator or something. And this dua is so incredible. And today, even when I see her walking around, moving around, I'm like, wow. Dua is always answered. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure who are sick, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us use this dua, because dua is always answered. Either you get it right away, you get it with a delay,
some harm is moved away, or the best of all, you get it on the judgment day. So in case, you know, that it's the time for that person, then definitely you still get rewards for making the du'as, right? Alhamdulillah. So jazakillah khair wa asna jaza to all our lovely teachers. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you tremendously. And how many of us, you know, can say this by themselves now? How many of you think that you kind of memorize this du'a and you can say it? MashaAllah, go ahead and type one. If next time you see somebody sick, you can visit them, you can call them even, and you can say this, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, right? And you are eating the fruits of the paradise. As Sam said, if you're visiting sick, then it's like eating the fruits of the paradise. Alhamdulillah. So let's open up our pillars of Iman. And which pillar of Iman do you think we are doing today? Go ahead and let's see if you can guess. Which pillar of Iman are we at right now? We said Amantu Billahi wa Malaikatihi wa Kutubihi. So what do you think comes next? Hasbi Allah Shameem, I hope you feeling better. And Jazakallah khair for all those friends who text privately also and telling me and, you know, even taking permission when you're leaving. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you tremendously. We all make the dua for you. As-salallahu al-azim, Rabbul Arshil Azim, and Yashfiak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you shifa. Those friends who are not feeling better, things can change very rapidly. Even today, one of my daughters, she just fainted, right? So it's like sometimes things happen. So it's okay. You can take rest and you can catch up from the recording, inshallah. Okay. So Alhamdulillah. Okay. So yes, mashallah, tabarakallah. Big stars for you guys. You guys are so mashallah, incredible. You know that this is a belief in the Rusulihi, the prophets. Alhamdulillah. So today we will do belief in the prophets, belief in the messengers. And the belief in the prophet is the fourth pillar of Islam. And what does it mean? So go ahead and write that it means that we believe that all the messengers were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. And the last of them was, who was the last prophet? The last of the prophets was, let's see, can you type it? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a duty on us Muslims to send salams, peace and blessings of Allah when mentioning the name of any of the prophets, right? So we say salutations on them, okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nahl, وَلَقَدْ, and for sure, certainly, okay? Go ahead and you can write the references. Let's write the reference for this ayah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, ba'asna, we sent, or we had appointed, fi kulli ummatin, in every nation, rasula, a messenger, and that he was saying, ani'budullah, he brought one message only, and what was the message of these messengers? That only worship one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the core message. That was something so common between all the prophets that were sent. Okay, so you can see next time somebody asks you what was the messenger saying, so they were saying ani'budullah, and then wajtanibu taghut, and avoid the taghut, and taghut is every such thing which is taking you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right, faminhum man hadallahu, and among them were those whom Allah guided, and among them were those upon whom error was deservedly decreed, these nations. So they proceed, fasiru fil ard. This is something that me and you have been told to do, that walk in the land. Fanzuru kayfa kana aqibatul mukazzibin, and observe how was the end of the deniers. Okay, so how many of us believe that yes, there were so many prophets who were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were sent to every nation, and the last and final one was the Prophet Muhammad. This is so heavy, you know, subhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase you in your faith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you strong believers that prophets are sent to guide us in this life and the next. Alhamdulillah. Okay, go ahead and type the name of your most favorite messenger, like the messenger that you know, read the story about and you resonate a lot. They're all like really amazing, right? They were all really amazing and we believe in all of them. Alhamdulillah. So they guided humanity from the worship of created beings to the worship of their creator, and they clarified for us that this life is a test for each individual.
a test of which its result will decide the type of life one will lead after that. How many of you think that each one of us have the same test paper? Do you think we have the same test paper? Write yes or write no. Do you think we have the same test paper? Very good, Laika and Mahamrana, mashallah. We all are tried and tested differently. We all have different skills. We all have different circumstances, and we all are going through the life, the test of life. And the prophets show us the right path that will take us to paradise and that will take us from the bad place. So the messengers were like human beings, okay? Sometimes we think, oh, you know what? They were messengers. They could do all those things. But I'm not a messenger. Like, I'm not so, how can I be so nice, right? But these were human beings. They used to feel tired just like me and you. They had these, they had families. They had so many affairs that they had to take care of, right? But they led a purpose-driven life free of doubt and confusion. Okay, so how many of us sitting here in this room would like to live a life of purpose? Then go ahead and write in your notebook, what is the purpose of my life, right? What is going to be the purpose of my life? What is the purpose that I will live? Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. Mashallah, Muhammad, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And I'm not going to make doubts, and there will be no confusion for me. So the messengers help purify the souls from materialism, from sin and heedlessness. Sounds familiar what we were talking about in Surah Humasa, right? So just like when the Prophet ﷺ was reciting these ayahs, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَأَدَّدًا إِنْ يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدًا. So they were reminding people that even if you accumulate this much wealth, you still will have to leave this world alone. Right? SubhanAllah, this brings to mind a story of a person that was hoarding hand sanitizers in these days. And, you know, he had so many hand sanitizers that they even like collapsed, and he kind of died in between that. And there was like, SubhanAllah, like, I don't know what the mindset was keeping so many there. So the messengers came to convey to the humanity the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is for their own benefit in this life and in the year after. So my and your job is to follow the prophets and the final prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many prophets were sent in the, how many prophet names are there in the Quran? Let's see. Alhamdulillah, very good, mashallah, 25 of them. So close your eyes and start saying them and see how many can you even say out, right? How many can you say? So yes, there were a lot of messengers sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to humanity. We get some figures, but out of them, there are 25 noble ones which are mentioned in the Quran in this order, which is in front of you. And me and you need to ask ourselves, how many stories do we know from these prophets? What is the legacy that they lived? And how can I be focused like Ibrahim alayhi salam? How can I have wisdom like so many other prophets? How, when I have a problem, I only complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like Yaqub alayhi salam? And how can I, you know, turn back to Allah like Adam alayhi salam? So every prophet has an amazing story, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, give us the tawfiq to resonate. Go ahead and share your favorite point, anything specifically that you think about, thinking of a prophet, like, you know, Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam, he got so sick, right? But he said, Rabbi inni masani adhuru wa anta arhamur rahimin, and he persevered, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recovered him. He gave him his wealth and children and his health back. So what story stands out in your mind, right, as a believer? What holds you back up? So very good questions, Asha. Now, every prophet was not given a book. Okay, so every prophet was not given a book, and we know that there were some books given, and these were at that time. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was given the last and final book. Yes, the Nu built an ark for an animal. Very good. Sulaiman ﷺ could talk to the animals. Right? That is so incredible. And subhanAllah, at your age, if ever you find yourself being bullied or friends making fun of you, that, oh my God, where are you spending your time? Why have you become like this and that? Then remember Nuh alayhi salam. People were making fun of him when he was building a boat, right? It wasn't even raining, but he kept on going. Subhanallah.
So yes, that was Yunus alayhi salam, right, Laika, which was in the whale. Just like we are in our houses right now, we can say La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin, like Yunus alayhi salam, and he was in the whale and he repented and he asked Allah for forgiveness. We can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness so that we are able to go back out and enjoy the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially the favor of going back to the masjid. Right? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. A very, very special thank you to you for being very active participants. Let's see what gems did you collect today. So go ahead, if you want to open up your camera, show us what did you make. Yes, Ramesa Isa alayhi salam could talk when he was a baby. That is so incredible, right? It was so incredible. Yes, subhanAllah. Exactly. So if you want to share your notes, you're more than welcome to. Abdullah Khan, Abdulun. Abdullah, you want to share? Anybody wants to share any message for everybody, they can do that. And remember, reflect on Surah Humaza today. Very nice. MashaAllah. Excellent. So go ahead, Nimra. I'm going to leave the homework screen on for everybody to make sure that they write their homework. Number one is to memorize the visiting the sixth dua. Okay, the second thing is to practice the translation of Surah Humaza up to verse number 4. Barakallahu fi Abdullah, mashallah, you can write your homework too, inshallah, okay? And you can take the mic, Abdullah, if you like, you can tell us some lessons that you took. And I hope today with your family, you can discuss 5 things about Allah's messengers, okay? And So any questions that you guys are asking, they can go into the email address I'm going to share with you very shortly once everybody's done writing the homework, okay? You want to annotate? Okay, yeah, just like, you know, Sister Shani was saying, we can give you a annotate page and then you can write. Okay, I'm going to let you guys annotate and go ahead, write. Those who can write some lessons, let's see how nicely some people can write. Then you can take a text prompt and write. In a text. And Nimra, go ahead. What did you learn today?
I think that I learned that I am like 11 years old right now, and I have not finished Quran because I keep on restarting the Quran because I wasn't like saying it good or something. But right now I'm like trying my best to finish, and I'm trying to like be like good on myself and not like pressure myself and like trying to finish the Quran.
Okay, mashallah. So what do you think, what is coming to your mind that you would like to do?
I think that I should like read at least like read 2 times a day, and like read in the morning, read in the afternoon time. Mm-hmm. And like try my best.
MashaAllah, Nimra, that is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you tremendously for all your intentions and your efforts, right? And that's what was happening when the Prophet ﷺ was even looking for truth. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell him? What was the Arabic word which was given to him, the first word?
Iqra, read.
Excellent. So that's what we will also do, right? So we will read, we will educate ourselves, and then inshallah we can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the actions easy for us. Right? So barakallahu fi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you tremendously for your intentions. And one last comment we'll take from Fatma Shata. Go ahead.
The people who are proud of their wealth will be disliked by Allah. And my big sister memorized the entire Quran. I memorized I think at least 12 or 13 juz. And my little sister memorized 5 juz.
MashaAllah. And are you enjoying learning the meaning of that memorization?
Yes.
Yeah.
We also have this class on Messenger and
Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you tremendously. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your parents for all the efforts that they are doing to helping you connect with Quran. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this Quran is like a treasure, right? And alhamdulillah, we tried to collect some treasures together, and there is so much that we need to learn. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, protect us, and may Allah make us of those
who collect the wisdom from this Quran, inshallah, and live by it, versus that person who is humaza, lumaza, and who is just thinking about money and just keep on hoarding that, right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Reha, for letting you allow the energy. Jazakallah khair for all those commenting. Barakallah fi. I know sometimes we need to let you just play with it so that you can become comfortable. Some people generally don't know how to write text on it. It's okay. So try to learn that, so that once you are in the class, then it's easy for you to write text and write meaningful stuff for everybody. Okay. So Barakallah fi. Once again, we apologize because of some technical issue. There was some delay in the beginning. There were two rooms that got opened up, so there was some technical issue there. But Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us a lesson in everything. We get to know our hidden qualities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us, bless us, and make us of those who stay patient no matter what. And this is the email address. Any question, queries can be directed here, kidscourse@nurulquraninstitute.com. And I would look forward to seeing you tomorrow, very healthy, very happy. And if there's anything that you have for sharing that you wanted to share, then let's do that tomorrow when we come in the class first thing tomorrow. So I'll ask you first thing tomorrow, inshallah. Okay. So stay happy and spread happiness. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wal asr innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bil sabr. By time, mankind is in loss except for those who believed, who did the righteous deeds, who reminded each other of truth, and who reminded each other of patience. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa iyyakum ya ma'din.